Okay, guys, check this out. I have this sound here that's going to revolutionize our podcast.
Yeah, okay, cool. What is it?
We are not going to use that.
Why not?
Everyone uses it.
I know, because it's awesome.
It's so overused, though. I mean, like, it's in everything.
Because it's awesome. Say something. Say something, anything.
I don't want to.
All right, now say it again.
Look, I don't want to. Yeah, will you stop doing that?
It's more awesome when you have the sound.
I swear to God, if you play that one more time, I'm going to hit you with a frying pan. Now we can start the show.
Welcome to another episode of Epic. Today we are talking about the best movies of 2013. Last week we said we were going to talk about the best and the worst, but we ended up only talking about the worst. So this week we're going to talk about the best movies that we've seen anyway. And with me here to talk about the best movies of 2013 is Andy.
Hello.
And Richard.
Hey guys.
Who wants to get us started with this conversation?
I'll start with one that I expected to be a bad movie because I saw the preview, and the preview really had nothing to do with the movie. And if it were a movie based on what I saw in the preview, it would have been a crappy movie. It's the movie Frozen.
Frozen.
It's a new Disney one.
That's the... Okay, yeah. It's about the Winter Queen or something like that?
Yeah, yeah. It's about these sisters, and one of them has these frost powers.
You know what? I've been hearing it's going to be one of those classic Disney movies.
It's a new idea. It's not a sequel to something, thank the Lord, because everything nowadays is a bloody sequel
or remake,
reboot, or reboot,
a reimagining,
or a book to tape.
A book to tape.
You know what I mean?
It's an audiobook.
Yes. So this is it seems to be a new thing completely. Now it is kind of a little bit formulaic, but what you would expect would be the bad person in it isn't. Like, there's a lot of twists. I really enjoyed it. I went to see it with my son. He enjoyed it too. His 3-year old self. But yeah, I liked it. It was visually good. It was funny. It wasn't too over the top. The storyline was good. It had a couple twists, and yeah, I enjoyed it. How about you guys?
I didn't see it.
I didn't see it either.
Ah.
But I have heard good things about it though.
I really have.
If it shows up on Netflix, I will be watching it.
Yeah, like it was a very good. I enjoyed it fully.
Yeah, we all have kids around this table, so we're probably going to be watching a lot of cartoons.
All of us around this table have kids. We don't have kids around the table.
No. Yes. I'm going to talk about Elysium. It's been getting some bad press.
I haven't seen that.
It's not bad. I think the reason why it's getting bad press is you go into it with an expectation that's set up from the preview. Somebody's wearing this mech suit.
Mm.
And you expect to see a lot about that. And frankly, the movie could have gone by entirely without the mech suit.
Cool.
It's kind of tacked in there. And I don't even know why it's tacked in there. It fills a plot point, but it's a plot point that could be easily explained away somewhere in other ways.
But then you wouldn't have those cool posters with that really awkward-looking tech suit.
I think that's the reason why they put that in there, just so they could have the cool posters to bring people in to watch the movie. But it borrows heavily from the plot of Oblivion.
Oh, joy.
Except that it's not aliens involved in any way. It's a future dystopic world. The poor people are still on the planet. The rich people are living in this Halo-style space station up in orbit. Very Halo, blatantly ripped off of Halo-style space station. As in, it's a ring, and in the inside of the ring is where, you know, well, basic civilization, they have an atmosphere.
You could say that Halo ripped off Babylon 5 then, because the Babylon 5 space station was like that, except longer.
And completely enclosed.
And completely, this wasn't enclosed?
No, it was open. No,
Babylon 5, the whole interior of that big drum is gravity and ground. Yeah,
but it was completely enclosed in that big drum.
Yeah.
This space station is not. It's a ring,
yeah,
an open ring, and on the inside of the ring is where everybody lives.
Oh, okay.
And the atmosphere stays on the ring because of its rotation.
Oh, like there's
so it's like a cup.
There's no space. There's no roof?
No.
Oh, wow.
Matter of fact, when you fly up to it, you kind of make reentry through the atmosphere just like you would on a planet. And that was the idea behind the space station in Halo as well.
Is that even possible?
Technically, yes.
It's a movie.
But it's also, you know, anyway. That aside, the thing is, and the real kind of revolving point of this movie is the tech that exists on this space station. Rich people are jerks in the future. They have the technology to save every single person on Earth. They have these machines that can reatomize, kind of like a cross between a replicator in Star Trek and a tanning bed.
Cool.
So you lay on it, and it will reatomize your body, basically removing any kind of health defect that you might have. So, got cancer? No problem. Lay in the bed for about 2 minutes. You're healed.
That'd be awesome.
Your face got blown off, which actually happens at one point in the movie. No problem. Lay on the bed for a few seconds. You got your face back. Like, and every house has one of these. It's part of the furniture on this space station. But meanwhile, people down on the planet are living, like, in complete squalor.
Hmm.
Right? And the one thing I did enjoy about this movie was that they didn't demonize the technology in any way. They demonized the people. The technology is clearly the saving grace of the planet, because you could save the entire population, feed everybody with this technology. The thing is, the rich people were hoarding it to themselves and didn't want anybody else to have it. And the whole point of this movie was going around and finding a way to, well, quite accidentally, finding a way to register through the AI of these machines every person on the planet as a quote-unquote citizen of Elysium. The space station is called Elysium. Ah. And once they're all citizens, they all have access to these beds. And what happens in this movie is kind of interesting. They kind of do this whole rush the border thing through ships, kind of like you see off the coast, where people fly in on these ships, hope to not get shot down, make it through the defense grid, crash land near a house, and have enough time to run into one of the houses and use one of these beds before the authorities catch them. Because once the authorities catch them, they just send them back to Earth, right? But if you can, you know, one person has her little girl is dying of lymphoma. She gets on one of these ships, she crashes in, she runs into the house, puts her on a bed, heals her up, and whatever. She gets caught after that. No big deal. I'm going back to Earth, but I'm going back to Earth with a completely healthy child now. So, worth it. Meanwhile, about 100 other people got blown away on their way in. So,
yeah,
you know, it's kind of a risk. Now, at the end of the movie, they do manage, spoiler alert, by the way, for the rest of this episode, they do manage, or he manages to reprogram the AI. So all the androids are now on their side and protecting the people on Earth as well as the people on Elysium. And the AI immediately dispatches all the medical ships needed to take care of everybody on the planet.
Oh, okay.
Like automatically. Because you see kind of the computer reboots and it starts scanning through the new roster of quote-unquote citizens. And it comes up with a bunch of red flags on their health status. So it just immediately sends out all these things. And it's just basically ships full of these tanning beds. And they just arrive. And they're like, all right, come on in.
Huh,
like,
awesome.
Not a big deal. So I enjoyed the movie. It got a lot of bad press. I do not like the fact that they misled me into watching the movie, making me expecting it was something else. Because it wasn't bad for what it was. It didn't need to pretend to be something else. But it did. And I don't like that. So good and bad.
Okay.
Okay. So for myself, one that I absolutely loved this year was The Wolverine. Wolverine was such a good movie. Yeah, there was problems with it.
Now, was it a great movie because it was a great movie, or was it a great movie in comparison to the previous?
Was it just decent compared to all other movies?
Obviously, that was
compared to the other ones.
Yeah, but I mean, obviously, that was the major concern of everybody.
This is why I didn't go see it.
No, man, this was not X-Men Origins.
No, it was.
This was. Yeah, no, this was so much better. It's yeah, I had some problems. Well, not problems. They took some leeways with characters like the Silver Samurai.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I'm not going to tell you guys about this because you guys haven't seen it yet. But as a Wolverine movie itself, it was fantastic. About his course, again, from being a comic book guy as well, too, from seeing his trip to Japan. You know, characters. Just talk about him learning the code of the samurai, which happened in the comic books. He actually became a samurai and trained with the samurai, which is where he, you know, developed his code of his code of honor, that kind of stuff. But visually, it was a great movie. Basically all around, it was really a really good film. Mm-hmm. The problem I had with it was that the first time I was seeing it, I only saw half of it. because the fire alarms came on.
Oh, yeah, I remember you guys were talking
We had to be
that.
Evacuated. Thankfully, the theater here.
That yes. much of a hot movie?
Yes,
the fire
it
alarm.
Was amazing. But no, thankfully, the theater actually reimbursed us, so I had to wait another week and a half
right.
To go back and see it again. But still, no, it was
And you had to sit through the first half that you already saw.
It's honestly, I didn't care.
It's yeah. going to be cool
it
to
was,
see.
It was fantastic. I really enjoyed it.
It's going to be cool to see how they tie in how that ended with Wolverine into the next movie or series.
But there was a mid-roll, actually, about that.
There was a what?
A mid-roll in the credits.
What's a mid-roll?
It's like a little video that plays halfway through the credits.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
I'll have to Google that.
Yes.
Okay, explains it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can tell what it is.
Sure, go for it.
It's...
spoiler, by the way.
Yes, well, it is, you know, they're... Well, yeah, you know, they're... Logan is getting on a plane. He goes through the metal detectors. Of course, it goes off like crazy. Then he realizes that all this change is starting to float up in the air. And he looks around and everyone's frozen. Turns around. There is Professor X and Magneto.
Oh, yeah.
Recruiting him.
Yeah, actually, I did see that. That reminds me. But no, that doesn't explain how he gets his claws back.
Well, bone claws. Yeah. As of then. In the comics themselves, he was stripped from his...
Oh, the comics explain it, but the movies... We don't know yet.
That's the thing. Nothing's happened yet.
That's what I mean. Yeah. I said that's why it's going to be interesting to see how they resolve that.
I used to ignore you anyway, so yeah.
Sorry, Mark, if you gave anything away.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fine.
But no, it was... Yeah,
I do want to go see it.
But no, I very much enjoyed it.
All right. Well, it's going to be on my list to watch.
Yeah.
We've been talking about this one on and off through the last episode. Pacific Rim.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Robots. Oh my God! Robots, that's monsters, all, bang, bang, notes. Bang, punch,
my,
punch.
My notes say "OMG, robots."
Yeah, that sure does. This movie promised me one thing, and it delivered on it. It promised me giant robots versus yes. giant monsters.
Yes.
It gave me giant robots versus giant monsters. It was one of the best things I've ever seen on the screen.
Yes. Do not go to this movie expecting to be thinking. Yeah. At all.
No.
Dude, also, matter of fact, thinking is bad during this
think
movie.
Of it as
think.
Almost a live-action anime. Yes. So the characters are over the top. They are, like, just...
That is what
they're
it came
over everything.
For me, is
that?
Is it felt like a live-action anime.
That was a point to it. That was Del Toro's whole point.
I have to say, if you had the chance to watch this in theaters, you should have watched it in 3D. Because the 3D helps add depth to the size and the immensity of these robots.
It helps add depth.
It adds depth. No, but it I don't know. I think it added to the feeling of how enormous these things were.
Yeah.
And it was done fairly well. Like I enjoyed it. And I thought that in this case, because the 3D wasn't, you know, oh, look at this. It's going in your face. It
Which
wasn't
is
like
what
that.
I hate with 3D.
It was... It
wasn't gimmicky.
How about Iron Man 3?
I liked it to a point.
Yes.
I did enjoy it as a movie.
It was a great Tony Stark movie.
It was a good Tony Stark movie.
Yeah.
It had nothing with Iron Man.
You know,
there were some stupid choices in my books.
It was nice to see Tony Stark being a little bit more human. He was damaged at what he saw in New York. But the question was, why did this damage him
and
so badly?
Which he got over quick, by the way.
Well, why was he even messed up by it to begin with? I mean...
Well, listen,
he's seen some crazy things at this
point. They could have done a lot with the anxiety attacks. They really could have.
Yeah. But also, there was a couple of giant, huge plot holes in it.
Oh, yes.
Well, I believe he moves across the country between scenes at one point without an explanation.
Well, also, let's just really say really quick, too. There was kind of a joke and a big F you at the same time to a lot of the fans in the Mandarin.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah, the Mandarin.
Yeah.
They didn't handle that very well.
No. It was funny for a second. Then I'm like, hey.
Well, they were giving us, at first I thought they were giving us a pretty cool Mandarin.
It was Ben Kingsley. Like, yeah. How did we not, like,
it's Ben Kingsley. And then there was the scene where he confronts him for the first time.
Hi, I'm Trevor. Like, yeah. Wait,
yes.
What?
What? No, what? You're not doing this movie. Tell me this is a dream sequence. Tell me this is something. But, yeah.
Well, also
yeah,
the Iron Man suits, like that could have ended the movie really quick.
Again, how it should end it. I did a great bit on that.
Well, what got me as well was, you know, that's plausible. He didn't want to do that. He forgot about it, something like that. But what really gets me is at the end, when all those suits are flying around and killing everything, and there's this one super beefy suit that runs up and grabs the structure that got, you know, compromised and is holding the whole thing up, keeping everything from falling. And then at the end, he says, blow the suits up. That guy would have blown up too,
yep.
And everything would have fallen on their heads.
Big giant plot hole. Well, okay. First of all,
but I enjoyed it. I liked it.
Blow up the suits? Put them in storage or something. This was your entire life, man.
He has more money than like those don't mean anything to him.
No,
he's got that much money. If you were that rich, you'd understand.
Well, I understand the point.
They could save a lot of lives.
Well, I understand the point to it as well too. It was that he was trying to show the love of his life that he's more than just the suits.
Right.
That the suits are running his life. That was his life. That's all it was. It was taking over everything.
Mm-hmm.
Thing is, though, he was staying up and making them, and that's why they fell apart so bloody quick too. Is that because of anxiety attacks he couldn't sleep, so he became an insomniac. And so he was just building and building and building and building and building the suits. He would think of like the stupid thing, like what if a structure is going to fall on my head? I'll build a suit for that.
That was the Hulkbuster, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't actually. Which is what I thought it was. Well, too, I'm like, this is gonna be awesome. And then he's like, I'm Stability Man. But it's really you made a suit for that. But no, that's. So yeah, that's kind of how I did it. But yeah, that was definitely a problem of mine too. But like he has all anxiety attacks just kind of out of the blue. And then when he's like, oh no, you know, Pepper's dead. Well, back to work. Like just that seemed to have just, you know, glanced off almost, I found.
Yeah.
With that being said, with all this ragging we're doing about it, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I still had fun
in the movie. Yes.
Yeah,
it is the awesome.
The kid was an awesome character. Put it.
Yes, there. because it was a child sidekick, well, sort of sidekick, who was not irritating.
Yeah,
he was actually fun.
True.
Yeah.
However, Tony Stark really shouldn't have given that weaponry to a child.
Tony Stark should not be allowed children, or actually allowed around children, I should say.
Yeah, well, Tony Stark doesn't exactly have the best judgment when it comes to kid.
And in fact, really, they could not have picked a better actor.
The joke with the Mickey Mouse watch, or I think it was a Mickey Mouse watch.
Yeah.
Was pretty funny.
It was a girl's watch, actually.
It was a girl's watch.
Wasn't it
a Mickey Mouse?
But limited edition, though.
Yeah.
I remember it was limited edition, but I forget what it was.
Yeah, I don't remember either.
I thought it was a Disney watch.
It probably was.
It might have been. I don't know.
Again, okay. Disney
owns the rights, so
it could have been. Yeah, it probably was.
All right. So going from one giant explosion movie to another, let's talk about Star Trek Into Darkness.
Oh, right. Yeah, I forgot about that, actually.
Jeez, that's 2013, isn't it?
That's 2013.
I forgot about that one, which is strange. I forgot about that one because I really did enjoy it. Now, here's what I did not like. He swore up and down that Khan wasn't going to be in this movie. And Khan was in this movie.
Oh yeah.
Well,
that shame on you. Shame, shame, shame. What's your name? I forget. Who was it?
J.J. Abrams.
J.J. Abrams. Shame on you for doing that. That and the damn lens flares. Knock it off already.
Here's the thing: is
it's
if
funny about your lens flares.
what's his name? Shaun of the Dead.
Scotty.
Simon Pegg.
Simon Pegg. Yeah. Simon Pegg actually tweeted about that. He said that. If the biggest thing you could find at fault with this movie is the fact that he used too many lens flares, that's pretty good. That means it's a good movie. And really,
he copped to it, though. J.J. Abrams went on record saying, yes, the lens flare thing was getting out of hand. And actually, he was watching it with his wife, apparently. And he turned to his wife and he's like, I think I have a problem.
It's also the sound effect nowadays. It's always used.
Hold on. I still have the button up.
Yeah, that one. Any frying pan?
No, thank you.
But it was a good movie. I enjoyed it. There are also giant plot holes in this as well.
Oh, yeah.
And what was it? There was a How It Should Have Ended, I think, with this one, where they sort of disband the whole Starfleet in general, all the ships.
Really?
Yeah, and they just start using that warp transport device that Khan uses to get to the Klingon homeworld from Earth. We're like, why would we send ships out? We've got these awesome transporters.
Yes, one of the biggest failings of the movie was the lack of understanding of basic physics.
Mm.
When you come out of warp by accident, they came out of warp by accident. They were going to stay in warp. They're heading to Earth, and they were pushed out of warp. So they came out of it prematurely, and they came out of it within the orbit of the moon.
Mm.
If they would have stayed in warp, they would have slammed into the Earth. Even for a split second longer. Do you know how fast warp speed is?
Yeah, it's a warp speed.
It's faster than light. So, yeah, you would have slammed in or you would have overshot Earth. So that didn't make any sense. And they came out just by the moon, and yet somehow they managed to get caught in Earth's gravitational pull and get pulled all the way down into the Earth. That didn't make any sense. They got to the Klingon homeworld, like, immediately. Or no, he teleported from Earth to the Klingon homeworld. What the hell?
Yeah.
Sky did mention that he was using his transwarp for that, but that's not the point of his transwarp teleporter. His transwarp teleporter was he could teleport onto a ship that was in warp. That was traveling at warp speed.
Yeah.
Not between two planets on the other side of the solar, or the other side of the galaxy. That did not make sense.
Mm. Despicable Me 2.
I've seen Despicable Me 1. I've seen Despicable Me 1, and we just watched it a couple nights ago. I'm going to want to watch Despicable Me 2 pretty soon because the first one was actually pretty good. Very touching story.
I was surprised, actually, how good it was.
Yeah.
And CG also was fantastic.
The second one was funnier.
Really?
Yes, it was fantastic.
Yes, I would agree.
Of sequels,
this is a movie you want to bring your kids to.
Yes, this is one where the sequel was
or
just
not,
as good
because it's just enjoyable for anybody.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
There's lots of levels of humor.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. It is. They put a lot of effort into these two. Like the minions have their own language. Like it's an actual language that they made.
Really?
Yeah.
So did they do that for the first one?
They did it for the first one too. And apparently it's, I think two of the animators or the director or something like that. So one is French and one is like German. And that's why they sound like that.
Okay. Like they mix the French and German language to make a new one?
No, they're voicing them.
Oh, okay.
So that's why they sound like they're French and yeah. It is hilarious. And well worth the watch. Yeah.
Just saw Hunger Games 2 the other night.
So what do you think of Catching Fire, Hunger Games 2?
I haven't seen that one yet.
The Hunger Games series itself, it's, again, my wife has read all the books, and so she loves it to death. And again, this is one that I saw the first one with her on Netflix. And I was like, okay, fine, whatever. Like, with, you know, City of Bones, fresh in my memory. Mm-hmm. And watching this, I was like, it's a movie with kids that does not really treat them like kids, but it works.
Uh-huh.
Like, I actually really enjoyed the first one. And the second one, stuff gets real, really quick, too. Mm-hmm. Again, like you were saying a while ago, too, with, they're with Elysium, how basically the ultra-rich in the future are jerks. Just complete jerks. Same thing.
We love to rail against the 1%, even though they're the ones making these movies.
They have so much everything and so much food and everything else. Like there is basically one scene that they go to a party and basically something like, oh, we want some food. Like, no, I'm so full. It's like, well, drink this. Like, what? Like, why? What's it do? It's like, it makes you sick, so you can keep eating.
Oh, that's from the they used to do this in history.
Yeah,
the Romans used to do
these. They actually had vomitoriums.
But, yeah.
But I said, yeah, so they just have so much food and stuff around that. Mm-hmm. In order to try everything at these giant parties, they got to eat till they're full and then throw up and go back and do it again.
I know what I'm doing next buffet I'm going to.
They'll probably throw you out.
We're not going to throw up in the buffet.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Overall, it was definitely pretty cool. I actually am really curious about how the last one's going to end. Last two, because, again, the last book is broken into two. Mm. So.
Okay. What about World's End?
I still have not seen that one yet.
Seen that one?
But I really want to see that.
Let's get Simon Pegg.
It's
that's one with the bars. Yes. And then the bars being taken over by robots or something.
Like it's basically robot invasion. It's again in Hot Fuzz where they've seen like all the cop movies and they make like a cop show. And then Shaun of the Dead, same thing. This is all the robot uprisings like Terminator and that kind of stuff. It's this. Essentially, the plot line is way back when these guys try to do a pub crawl for all these 12 pubs, and the last pub on their list is called The World's End.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're adults and they try to do it again in robot uprising or like androids and whatever else. And
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. This is that's on my, I want to watch that movie.
Yeah. You should. It's actually got some really cool twists in it.
They're surprisingly
good. It's kind of a little bit like,
they're really good.
It's a little bit like Shaun of the Dead, but with robots.
That's kind of the point.
But
yeah.
Well, yeah, but it was good. It was an entertaining movie. I enjoyed
Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz. Those movies were
anytime
surprisingly rewatchable.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it is anytime Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, go and team up together. I find they do just awesome stuff.
They do fantastic
stuff. Oh, yeah.
Other movies that I want to see this year that I've been hearing really good things about, Anchorman 2.
Saw it the other night.
I still haven't seen the first one.
What did you think? Good, bad?
It's not as good as the first one all in all because the first one I just expected... I don't know what I expected. So
nothing.
But the thing is, though, I love the first one. I really did.
Yep.
So I'm like, okay, well, if it's even close to it. So there definitely are some really funny scenes. There's other scenes in it that you're just like, that is the most moronic thing I've ever seen in my life. Mm-hmm. However, by far, the best thing in the whole movie is the news team fight scene.
That's in the first one.
And the second one.
Oh, there's another
one? The second one, they top it.
Okay.
Oh, right.
So it escalates even more quickly.
You have no idea.
I haven't seen either of them, so.
The Thor movie. I want to go see that.
I have not seen
it. I want to see that. I missed it in theaters, so I'm waiting for it to come out in DVD.
Yeah, same.
Same here. Gravity. Now, this was one that I keep hearing that if you missed it in theaters, you might have really missed.
Yeah, because it's supposed to be really good with the 3D and, mm-hmm. and all that.
Yeah. Well, that's like in Pacific Rim. I heard the same thing, too, that if you're not seeing it in theaters. No, just before this, even though, too. Two is the same thing, whereas I actually really enjoyed it. So
that looked really good in previews. It looks like one of those ones, though, that really would do justice on a large screen.
Yep,
I think
so, too. Let's see.
Monsters University, you guys see that?
No.
That was surprisingly good, too.
I've seen bits and pieces of it at work because they're playing it on a handful of TVs at work. But I'm trying not to watch it because I still want to see it.
We actually bought that one. And, you know, we have a physical copy. So it's if you guys want to borrow it for one. Cool. But it's actually, I liked it. It's one of those ones that it's not, you know, a lot of times they'll do a sequel and they'll just kind of try to play off the previous success. But this one has a decent story and it actually is well done. Like, it's a prequel.
And finally, the last ones, Kick-Ass 2, Riddick. And
Riddick, I was hopeful for because it looked like it was going back to Pitch Black again.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen it yet, but people told me, hey, no.
I haven't seen it.
It didn't work either. Well? Oh, that's too bad.
Well, they said that it didn't really do that. Okay. So.
And Percy Jackson, of course.
Sea of Monsters. Yep.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. It was
Percy Jackson?
Good. Yeah. Much better than the first one. The first one was terrible. And it was even more terrible after reading the books, the first movie.
Really? The first one
and that's why I don't read.
I felt like it was tepid. Like, I watched it. It was okay.
They cut so much out of that first one that it leads into my main issue with people who make move books into movies.
Right. Your rant from your last episode.
Yes, where they follow the bloody book.
It's there.
There's
for
a reason the book is popular.
Yeah.
Don't try to make your own movie based on a book. You're just going to be, it's going to be a terrible movie. No matter how much hard work you put into it, how pretty it looks, if you go and make your own story and you're saying, hey, this is based on this book, people are going to hate it. Mm-hmm. There's very, very few where that's not going to happen.
Which is why I don't understand how come so many there's so many movies that are based on comic books turn out so horrible. You have the source material.
Yeah.
So
there's still a lot of 2013 movies we haven't seen. Maybe we could revisit these at a later episode. It'd be really nice to get Adam in here from The Cutting Room Floor, which is a movie review show here on CGSR.
To talk
about these things
as well.
Yes,
he could.
But in the meantime, we are going to have to finish this up. You've been listening to Epic on CHSR and online at geekglue.com. We are going to finish the episode with these epic words. Words. Want more Epic? For more episodes, show notes, and contact details, head on over to www.geekglue.com/epic. Epic is produced and podcasted in partnership with CHSR 97.9 FM in Fredericton, New Brunswick, Canada. This episode of Epic is licensed under Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives, 3.0, Unported, Creative Commons.
This is happening because our life sucks. And, bleh, 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 bleh. Epic.